Good evening. A warm welcome to the service this evening. We'll begin by singing to God's praise, and we'll sing from Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and we'll sing from verses 1 to verse 5 of the psalm. Psalm 42, and verses 1 through to verse 5. Like as the hart for water brooks and thirst doth pant and bray, so pants my longing soul, O God, that come to thee I may. My soul for God, the living God, doth thirst. When shall I near unto thy countenance approach and in God's sight appear? Down to the end of verse 5, O why art thou cast down, my soul? Why in me so dismayed? Trust God, for I shall praise him yet. His countenance is my aid. So we'll sing verses 1 to verse 5 of Psalm 42. And after we've sung, Donald will lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
Like as a heart for water brooks, in thirst doth pant and bray, so pants my longing soul, O God, that come to thee I may. My soul
Year of war, new gacher shachet, and a nerd. I guess a nine who a talk like in the evening, Larnus Harpen, a chayet na, or Croatia lie in Elan, as a third of it in Egan Elian. Sneak Yerimashan in a troch with Kapitohen God Kuchaka, Koshenigiana. agus a gheori gadokatu at falam, as a misk ní si bíhi viljag an tőr a górni a nyeskurs. Ar a si nyúna vianich te pős a si nyanyaloch, hús te salami mevrú te natalá, skifőcsinyi vitás nyichin is csachnain, jön a tenőri, jövök tórni pjár, gönny a fákalem mák. Harási nyújna tróh, kis sáhtanak, nár tójjens, nár szmóhagy. És nyikér jön a mjánetje, kukut kütú hőn sinyas. Kavi kléjön a rákkens, ne rójön a hőrónja színjét. És nyújna mjánetje mohokol, már rőjjak, kövert a lá, Edo chi ffwn y cas. Gwyrt yn ni gyr i ddol hen i gian y fydd i'r la y gorst i chws y fydd i gleg yna. A sy'n yw'n y fianet i gyr i gydian y dysyn y gyr fianet. Ond yn ni'ch yn eisiau'n sgyffwyd y gysyl y fydd gael tân yn ygys y tydigrach hen o'n mae'r bydd i gyr ygys y gleg o'n. Skibiagin yn ymianet i gybygar sŵl, edrych rhan chesi, farach gyda'r sŵl y bydd y tŵ. Nachol eich eich eisiau yn yno, cael eich fel yr sŵl, na neud yn tŵl, na nawn eich rhan chesi, far i dwga sŵl sy'n ni bwrst y fap ymianet. Sy'n ni gyrru yn och gyda ymianet yn ymianet. Gwyd y mohoch ac yn gyfle ystod gol yn un o'n eisio. Agus gwyd y coeg na chwn y mian eitio. Bydd yw ys fanan gwyd gwrn ni. Agus gwyd yn siach gyda hael awyrs gol yn un. Ydw chwydwch y gymor. Mohoch ac y gyfel. Chwydwch ac y gain yn y mian eitio. Gwyd yw sies ymtlwydig. Agus am ŵr o'n listyn y segyn hwn y mian eich ddig a gian y mae'n fyn i siedd cohorn o'n. Os yw'n gwrdd yn gwybio golyd eich as o'ch hwyl i ni asian. Ar as yw'n hwn y mian eich ddig bywod yna. Awm as fel ar eich hun glor ac yn gaeth. Os yw'n cyn o'ch hwyl i mian eich ddig ebwyndydd hyd y bach gwybio fyddi hal y mian yn y gras. Mae'n dod yn y troch i'r sani gynnes, y gwanys gael gair tiawl i chynnes, y gwanys gael balt. A sy'n y gwrn i'r siodwch o'r hyn ac yn ôl. Gwyw hyn yn ymianet yn y dyrcawb yn o'ch gael. Yr y gwyd ys y byd yn asyn y gwyd, ôl i chyn y gwyd, dreg yn ysgwr y mara. Mae hym i gael y chynnes yn ymwyd i gael. Sy'n y gwrdd i gyrwyd y hwyn yw sy'n ddau'r cywb yn o'ch gai. Sgan na sy'n gos flaen dy ffer y fel ac o'r hyd i dyhol. Sy'n ta'n gael y cyfel i gym i anneud y gw. Haes di chi'n y machan o'ch rhan ches i chi gyfa miwn sydd. Si eisiau wlad i sydd i gysfer hw mwldoch sef yn swn am nysgwy. Sy'n ta'n gael y gym i anneud y sôn o la y hwyr yn hwn y dyfeich rhan golyd. Chate gwein o chwacw as y danica, chate gwein o chwacw a bwanyga. Ach se hew se ddys, bi yw maile ddim sy'n jw as y rwyio. Ygwys i chastra gynio chwys i gawla fe an ysyn. O'r gawlwg yn cholan o'ch atwg. Sa sy'n y tangyr i gael fian eich gynio chi i'r tocol ygwys yr narwch. An y dach i yn ygwys an y coesnig as yr osbeis gatoch. Agus as yr osbeis gada hapain. Agus chanwr yn mynd i gael fian eich di rachin. Chachwol eich yn ysyn. Chachwol eich yn ysio. Chwol eich yn ysyn y troch yn anu sy'n gogain. Gwro coi ac yn ysyn hapain y chayet. Mala na. Da sy'n taingar i gael fian eich di groch lyg ysbanag lyg achat. Fai gymach gyrwain sŵas as y As y dŵhwyl tas yn las ac y basyn i gymach, y fannwch gwy. Gwrwyd tal ystlach gach, gwy sy'n sy'n un eisiau beled i gach a dach. Gwy sy'n chysgwyn i ti un eisiau bel. Un eisiau beled a sy'n y ffac yn eich nai ti'n y syrtiwy. A sy'n y gwrn i eisiau yn nôi gri ac eiddi sŵ ysgolwyd. Winded the wind of Trochy, which in the was Maladin, Leon the Kinu sat in Nishi, Chikau shat in Dachi in Akan, who sat the Golamachi gave Yanetikok, a home of Chenamaga pain as a dual war. Oh, Pungibu Wajian gave Yanet to Tolamach. Skibishinu kind of horror nine ornian. Can you suck in chain a dragon to be Maladun a good to be Konyakhidua? As in hand, and we asked the devil, Honey, she's gone to Chinya Matachni, Vamor and the Piag and the Vedhiach. And you learn I can on the show knock of a colat. Mehershinach and Piach can on it, as in your army and the Queen's can nearly need in on it, as in your less shacher. As in Tangle on the colon and the Hamish the Gadani, Kugar knew see your own peel you. And you let all the vases go to you. No, Galati, Edi, Hekro, Kabipio, Kalit, and the Need. Skudu said in the Jeshki, Pelekamel, Kroefala, Kroeta, Logoloch, Achigai, Ushashanarainas, and Achidulach, Ekiganahulahan, the Slishi, Sagadahimale, the Snigatown, Spiat Kola, the Shatnit, and poor Nepiva. As in Tangle gave Yanichik a Vertochus, a wounded Hanning theist. Or Miss Annas and Tugel Shartochus, as in Trua. Achnachmagan a wounded a Kivertochus on the theist. Kivellaga Dagachig an Indianet. Lord, where a shinas nappy. Tetig the un to you she is. Have you yallock to you eight or ochtach? Have you farakan? Have you kuyan? Habi Braun, speak the earth to Mali the Lord, such a make in the Ibnus, call in the Hail. Oh, Pianish Nukhrui, Shintangle got to go to Gariki in a bitchy, squishing a making Shinar Tahin's Narchel. A Shintangle on the Troch and after Akus Shinaz. Kavilu call it his Kavilu Kuchahu. Skivelu nyarsta chugumunja da lag. Snuklunja nana vena chayelu gandjiho chayina. Kama mit moshane faaka na nigin chinole. Nata laven he. Tjeli kitusa. Zine kushe na shen mora na shar na sanyu gini tjeli. Tok suha sluog visite tjeli se tu. Skivi hevianitje. Mare piatao na nidinja kradahi. Mare pjeg të gak qërë në slug e jërë me trebikak, për më të marë hotë me gës kosëve dhe kamara. O, në kajë në mjënë që që këshkjën të kashë, një kjerë jërë në hikë fikë, kështë në basi kështë. Një në të trokë dhe në makhri hujës, në ula që një vakën le të ku, në gëtë me të vitë që hëjnëk, o, në këmë vëllat në të halë dhe në hëllë 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 Kutis manat över I gemianet. Vi bete hiak. Ska bete hörsne. Stäke lochlavur. Ska klokke etter. Ska achrivas.
We will sing again to God's praise. We sing from the hymn that's on the screen, or will be on the screen in just a moment. Jehovah St. Kenya, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load, though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree. Jehovah St. Kenya was nothing to me. We'll sing the whole of this hymn to God's praise.
I want
Let's turn now to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We took an introductory look at this 3 or 4 weeks ago now. And so we're returning to this passage tonight, and we'll begin to work our way through this book. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And we'll read from verse 1 of chapter 1 through to verse 11 of chapter 2. This is God's word. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its full of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. We're going to sing again now to God's praise. We'll sing the last two stanzas of Psalm 42 in Gaelic. The last two stanzas, it's one verse in the English And I'll read it in English. O why art thou cast down, my soul? Why thus with grief oppressed art thou disquieted in me? In hope, in God still hope and rest. For yet I know I shall him praise, who graciously to me the health is of my countenance. Yea, mine own God is he. These two verses of Psalm 42, and we'll remain seated to sing in Gaelic. For a moment as we come back to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we're able to sing it, and we thank you that we have some psalms that take us to the heights and give us words that we are able to take upon our lips to rejoice, and we thank you that we have some psalms that lament and take us to places that are deep, places that are dark, and give us words to sing and to speak when our hearts are sore. And we thank you that we have psalms like this one that speak about the thirst that our hearts have, that is quenched only when we come into relationship with you. And we thank you, Lord, that when we are in relationship with you, we have that satisfaction, we have peace, we have purpose. We know why we are here. And Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you that you are the God who has made us and who is with us. and who is for us. We thank you that you did not make this world and then walk away from it, like some watchmaker who winds up the watch and leaves it be. We thank you that you're involved in every detail of the cosmos and every detail of our lives, and that you care for us. We thank you, Father, that you care for us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus, into this world to seek us and to save us. And the lostness that we feel apart from you is cured when we come into relationship with you. We'll come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he has done. Help us, we pray, to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, and help us, even sometimes when we might feel cast down, as the psalmist did, to preach to our own souls, to preach the gospel to ourselves. Help us to say with the psalmist, though, why art thou cast down, my soul? Why in me so dismayed? Trust God, for I shall praise him yet. His countenance is mine aid. So hear our prayers, we ask, and help us as we open your word. Give us understanding. Help us to see all that we are being pointed to in this book, which initially looks bleak, but points us to the hope that is found only in Christ. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people would say that the Bible is out of date. Some people would say that the Bible is a book of another age, another generation. But the truth is, the Bible speaks to every age, every generation, every person, every place, every situation. And this book of Ecclesiastes that we've kind of taken a step into is a book that explores the meaning of life. And in every place, at every time, people are asking the question, why am I here? What's the purpose? What's the point? Why am I working 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week? Why am I drawing a wage in order to spend and pay bills and go to school and get education? And why am I going through the cycle of all these things that seems to come through generation after generation? What's the point of it? What's the purpose of it? What's underlying it all? And this is the question that the teacher, Solomon, we believe, is asking in this book. It's the why question. Science asks the how question. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm not interested in the things of faith. I'm only interested in asking these questions that are answered in science. Well, science asks the how question. Science asks the questions about how the world works and how the cosmos works and how our bodies work. These are questions that are explored in the chemistry and the biology and the physics textbooks. They're beyond me. But science doesn't help us with the why question. And for help with that question, we need to turn to our Maker, to God, and to his word. And so we're doing that this evening. And this is it's a contemporary book. And I'm conscious that as we study together, the majority of people in this room are Christians, are professing Christians. In some ways, I was thinking that it may have been better to go to Ecclesiastes in the morning. There's a greater mix of people, many people who are not professing to be Christians. But we are moving, all of us, in circles that God has ordained. You have friends, relatives, colleagues that only you have. And all the people in your workplace and all the people I rub shoulders with in my world are people who are asking these questions. Why am I here? What's it all about? What's it for? And actually, the greatest effect that this message can have is not so much when it goes out on a Sunday morning, but when it goes out through us, through God's people, on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning, in the coffee rooms, the tea breaks, in all the different situations that we find ourselves in. So the first question that we come to, just to recap on where we were, and we look at the introductory verses of this book. The first thing that we come to, point number one, is questions about life. And I'll just skim over these first 2 points because we've looked a little into this already. Solomon, who's the teacher, he asks lots of questions. And if you've got the Bible in front of you there, and Ecclesiastes chapter 1 open, then we can see that Solomon, he asks lots of questions and he makes some pretty bleak observations on life. That's verses 1 to 11. Doesn't make for the most encouraging and the most light-filled start to the book. So he has all these questions. Some of them seem quite cynical almost. And then he goes on this pursuit of answers to these questions in verse 12 and following. And he's trying to understand the purpose and the meaning of life in this world. The code word that he phrase that he uses for life in this world is life under the sun. And all his questions point us to the truth that there must be more to life than what's under the sun. There must be more to life than simply what we can see and feel and touch, the physical realm. And that's what the book is driving towards. Just a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Runrig singer, some of you are big Runrig fans, and the Runrig lead singer, Bruce Guthrow, he died, age 62. And on social media, there was lots of articles being written with tributes. And I noticed in these tributes, there was one song that was being posted over and over again. And it was a song that was actually sung apparently at the funeral as well. And the refrain, the line in the song that's repeated is this: "There must be a place under the sun where hearts of olden glory grow young." And you can almost hear Solomon singing that in this book. He's saying there must be more than this. There must be more than just this world. And that's the longing, that's the drive, that's the deep question and search that's giving us this book. And as we read on in the Bible, we get the answers to these questions. And I think when we're going through Ecclesiastes, it's important for us to grapple with these dark, difficult questions, but not just focus on Ecclesiastes, but think a little bit broader. So Solomon is saying there must be more. There must be more than what's just simply under the sun. And as we hear that question ringing out of Ecclesiastes, we get the answer all over the Bible. Think about Isaiah 40. Isaiah responds to the question that Solomon asks, and he tells us, "Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes to what's above the sun. Lift your eyes," verse 26 of Isaiah 40, "and look to the heavens. Who created all these?" he says. "He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God'? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And Isaiah, in that chapter, he's given a promise. And he passes on this promise of this place of renewed strength. this place where you could say that we grow young, that place that our hearts long for. And John, in chapter 21 of Revelation 21, he says, as he looks into heaven, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And these are wonderful truths. Isaiah gets a glimpse, and John gets a glimpse in slightly higher definition. And these are the wonderful truths that this book is leading us towards. This is what Solomon's looking for. This is what the teacher is searching for. But he's not there yet in Ecclesiastes. He's still looking for answers. And for anyone here who's looking for answers to the deep questions of life and eternity, this is where we find them. Read the Bible. This is where we get the answers to the deep questions. This is where we find the meaning of life. And I know I'm preaching to the converted mainly on this. But when you go out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the best thing that you and I can say to people is not, let me tell you about my experiences. Best thing we can say to people is, why don't you read the Bible? The best thing we can do for somebody is put God's word in their hands and say, why don't you read? And I'm going to pray that God will reveal himself and reveal the purpose, the meaning of life to you as you read. And for those who are not going to read, then let's try and have the salt of God's word on our lips. I think it's Paul that talks about our conversation being seasoned with grace. We have lots of things on our lips. We're talking about sport, we're talking about the weather, we're talking about the last thing we watched on TV. The best thing we can talk about, the best thing we can have on our lips is the Bible. Give people a taste of the Bible, because this is what their hearts are looking for. They may not know it, but this is what their souls, what their hearts are longing for. So Solomon, he's asking questions about life. And the next thing that he does is he goes on the search and he looks for answers in study. And in our terms, you could say he matriculates at the University of Jerusalem. He looks to the best minds of his day. Verse 12, he devotes himself to study, to getting more head knowledge, to learning more and more. And he excels in this, verse 16. He knows more than any other teachers, but quickly he concedes that even though he has this massive knowledge that he has learned through his study, it yields little. And he likens it to a chasing after the wind in verse 17. If we reflect on that for a moment, that phrase is a phrase that encapsulates so much of what we've seen and witnessed and maybe read over even recent generations. Think about Dawkins. Think about Hawking. Think about various philosophers that have been studied through the ages. What are they doing? They're chasing after the wind. They're confirming, the more they study, the position of Solomon, that What is the position of Solomon? Well, the position of Solomon, as the book starts, is that if all there is what's under the sun, everything is meaningless and life is pointless. And that's the grim conclusion that the Hawkings and the Dawkins have come to, and they take around the lecture circuits. But the message that the teacher is leading us to, the message that the Bible is full of, is that our lives are not meaningless. But we find meaning not in what we know in terms of academic credentials and intellectual knowledge. We find true meaning in who we know. We were designed to know God. We were designed to come into relationship with Christ. That's where there's meaning. Think about Nicodemus, John chapter 3. He was known, he was called Israel's teacher. That's how Jesus addresses him. He says to him, "You're Israel's teacher. You don't have any answers to these big questions." So Nicodemus, he's this well-known character. He has vast religious knowledge. He's a top theologian, but that wasn't enough. And that's where we find him after dark, and he's sneaking around. He's trying to get 5 minutes with Jesus so that he can bring to Jesus his deep questions. He's trying to get a taste of something that his soul is looking for, and he comes to realize, I think, through that encounter, that true meaning, satisfaction, life, is found in knowing Jesus. Questions about life. Solomon, he goes looking for answers in study. The next thing is he goes for looking for answers in pleasure. Now, one of the biggest bands of the last couple of generations, some of the fans are probably here in this room, although you won't put your hands up. One of the biggest bands of the last few generations has been the Rolling Stones. They were superstars in the UK. They went and even cracked America. They were known for their pleasure-seeking rock and roll hedonistic lifestyle. And yet, their most famous lyric was, "I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction." But that was in the 60s. I was wondering this afternoon, just before I came out, I thought I'll Google the top 10 songs. I'll see if there's anything in the top 10 that still has that same sentiment. I don't know, I never checked the number, I can't remember what the number was, but it was certainly in the top 10 or 20. And there was a song that caught my eye, and it's by a woman called Billie Eilish, whom I wouldn't recommend. I don't know her stuff, but I know her stuff well enough not to know not to go and listen to it. So boys and girls, don't go there. But the song title that's in the top charts is the title, "What Was I Made For?" This is brand new. Right out there just now. Brand new. And the title of the song is, "What Was I Made For? I used to float, now I just fall down. I used to know, but I'm not sure now. What was I made for? What was I made for? Taking a drive, I was an ideal, looked so alive, turns out I'm not real. Just something you paid for. What was I made for? Because I don't know how to feel, but I want to try. I don't know how to feel, but someday I might, someday I might. When did it end, all the enjoyment? I'm sad again, don't tell my boyfriend. It's not what he's made for. What was I made for?" And so it goes on. I'm causing great hilarity for the young girls who obviously recognise the song. But I'm not about to go into a rap, don't worry. But you get the point. Back then, 3,000 years ago, whenever it was that Ecclesiastes were written, I can't remember. And then in the 1960s, and brand new today, it's the same questions. What was I made for? And so Solomon, he says, right, I'm going to go on a crusade. I'm going to look for some answers and pleasure. He says, I thought in my heart, verse 1 of chapter 2, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what's good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what is pleasure accomplished? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. And so the teacher in this experiment, he just tries everything. Anything that is offered to him in terms of pleasure, hedonistic pleasure, he says, I'll take it, I'll try it. And he's a rich man, so he's got access to any and all pleasures that are available at that time. So he's in the comedy club, he's watching the latest stand-up comedians, he's trying to get a laugh. It's not enough. He's at the theatre, he's watching critically acclaimed shows, he's at the cinema, he's catching the new releases, he's down at the pub, he's filling himself with fine wine. He's out at the club trying to get a buzz that will last. And he's speaking to his heart all the while in verse 1. He's saying, come now, I'll test you with pleasure. Let's taste all these things to find out what's good. And yet nothing seems to have any lasting satisfaction. Nothing actually has any kind of deep goodness to it. And that's his conclusion. So where would he find something good? If we just widen the angle of this and look beyond Ecclesiastes, where will the teacher find something that will delight his heart? Who can answer this? Well, a psalmist can answer. Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's where the answers are. Or we could go with our microphone and our TV camera to a well in Samaria and look for a woman in John 4. And this woman in John 4, she's looking for pleasure in relationships. She's had 5 husbands. She's now working on number 6. And she's still thirsty. She's got no pleasure. Nothing's been good. And then one day she met Jesus. She listened to Jesus. She trusted Jesus. And her thirst was gone. And her heart was content. And she tells us plainly what the teacher in Ecclesiastes is kind of subtly pointing us towards. And the lesson is that the truth is that Jesus is the answer. It's all pointing, it's all leading to Jesus. It's all leading to tasting him, to delighting in him. So have we learned this? Maybe there's someone here or someone watching at a distance and you're still looking for goodness, satisfaction in this world's pleasures. We won't find it. If we want satisfaction, if we want something that is good, that satisfies our souls, we have to forsake the vapor-like pleasures of this world, of what's under the sun, for lasting pleasure in Jesus. Remember the story I've told you a few times about Lachlan McKenzie, the happy man, and the wee boy down at the shore for the day with his dad. His dad's working. He's trying to fill his time by gathering nice shells. So by the end of the day, he's got 2 handfuls of shells. But it's 6 o'clock and he's heading home and his tummy's rumbling and he's starving. And his dad wants to call him past Lachlan McKenzie's house. So he goes to the door, he starts the conversation. You can imagine the wee boy, how long is this going to last? When am I going to get home? And Lachlan McKenzie, as he speaks to the boy's father, he looks at the boy and he says, are you hungry? And the boy says, yeah, I'm hungry. He said, hang on a second. Into the kitchen he went, 2 big hunks of bread, a thick layer of butter, and a big dollop of jam. 2 big jam sandwiches he comes through with. Hands it to the boy. And the boy looks at the jam sandwiches, and he looks at his hands that are full of empty shells. And he looks at the jam sandwiches, and he looks at the shells, and then he drops the shells. He takes the sandwich, and he's satisfied. And the lesson that we get in Ecclesiastes and all through the Bible is that we have to drop the empty shells of this world's supposed pleasure in order to take hold of the true pleasure that is experienced through abiding in Christ. So he's looking for answers in pleasure. And lastly, very briefly, we see Solomon, and he's looking for answers in work. And we'll just read through the text really here. He's in the last section here, he's fixated on his work. And he says in verse 4, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. So we see this booming construction business. We see this expert landscape gardener. He says, verse 7, I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. So he's got a huge workforce. He's got lots of people in his employment. He's got lots of assets. He's got lots of property. He's got lots of capital. He says in verse 7, I also own more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed, verse 8, silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. So he's super rich. And he uses these riches to again sample some more pleasures. Verse 8, he says, I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the hearts of man. So he's a man who works hard and he plays hard. He uses his money to have continual entertainment. He has this harem of supermodels running after him to indulge any desire he has. And he says in verse 9, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. So he's got power, he's got influence, and yet he can see through it. Because he still has wisdom. I denied nothing, verse 10. My eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work. And this was the reward for all my labor. He has it all. You know, he's the example of the guy who has absolutely made it. He's got everything. There's nothing that's beyond his reach. He has reputation. He has kudos. And notice in verse 10, he does get some joy in this. He did enjoy his work. He says that. And he did find some degree of pleasure in working hard and playing hard. There is some pleasure in sin. And for a moment, in verse 10, we wonder, has he now found the reason for living? Has he now found the answers that he's looking for? Because that's what it suggests in the first half of verse 10. But the buzz of verse 10a quickly fades. And when he comes to verse 11, it's almost as if he's had a moment of ecstasy. And he looks at his empire. And he stands back from it. And he says, yet, verse 11, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So the teacher concludes this section by admitting that the answer to life is not found in working for what will fade away. And the words of Jesus also speak into this even more clearly in Matthew 6. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And the teacher, you could say, indirectly and negatively, tells us what Jesus preaches positively and directly. And that is, when the heart is concerned with only what's under the sun, life has no meaning. That's the lesson. When our hearts are concerned only with what's under the sun, when our eyes are filled with this world, life has no meaning. Because pleasures are fleeting and treasures fade away. But when our hearts are captured with what is above the sun, when our hearts are given over to the Lord, then there is real pleasure and lasting treasure in Him. And life has meaning. So go and tell Mick Jagger that. And write a letter to Billie Eilish. And take this into school. And take this into work. And let's take this into our own hearts. And thank God and praise Him for who He is and what He has done for us in Christ. And we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You even for books like Ecclesiastes, which are hard for us to decipher and which seem very dark when we begin to explore them. But we thank You that this is a book that ultimately guides us from the darkness to the light that is found only in Christ. Help us to use this book even to diagnose the problems in our own lives, because we confess, Lord, that often we are found chasing this world's pleasures and treasures. Often we are found pursuing what does not satisfy. We try the broken cisterns, and yet we have to learn the lesson over and over again that they fail, because none but Christ can satisfy. So enable us, we pray, to live that out day by day, and to be thankful for every good gift that You allow us to have, to be thankful for work, to be thankful for the material things that You allow us to have in our hands for a period. But may none of us make these material things ultimate things. And help us, we pray, to taste and see that the Lord is good, to delight our souls in Him, and to be thankful for all the good gifts that You allow us to have as we travel through time. And help us, we pray, also, as we go from this place into a world that needs to hear the message of the book of Ecclesiastes. Help us to tell it, both in the words that we say and in the lives that we live. And we pray all this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. We'll sing to finish the words of Mission Praise 37. Mission Praise 37. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after You.
As the
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.